G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise God. If you've got a Bible, amen. Have a look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We started last week, we started talking about what I titled was Matters of the Heart. And I was kind of debating whether I call it Matters of the Heart or Christian character. So it's along the same line. And we talked about how character, the dictionary defines character is like attributes or features that make up who you are, moral excellence or firmness. Hey, my personal definition, particularly when you're thinking about it as a believer, character really is the manifestation of God's image in you, or Christ's image in you, right? You are identical to Jesus in your spirit, but some people don't allow that to shine out too much. Hey, and character is the manifestation of what's already in you. And so there are examples of Christian character like honor, integrity. Integrity we talked about last week. Sacrifice, kindness, joy, grace, faithfulness, mercy, perseverance, love, courage. So are you there at Colossians? In Colossians, in verse 1, we're going to read a chunk of it because it's just so good. Actually, I wanted to start halfway through chapter 2 because it's like, man, this is awesome. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. But Christ is all and in all. It says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So really, this chapter and the chapter leading into it, it's talking about matters of the heart. It's talking about matters that have happened deep within you. Now, understand, when I talk about the heart of man is not the spirit of man. It includes the spirit of a man, but it's more than that. Otherwise, why does the Bible say, I will praise you with my whole heart? That indicates that there's more than one component to the heart. And to praise him with a whole heart, the heart really, and I don't want to go into doing a study on that, but the heart really is a combination of your soul and your spirit and your imagination. And so... That's why, and I touched on this a little bit last week, you know, that's why the Bible says at times a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, because a double-minded man is a man with a divided heart. Your spirit, if you're born again, your spirit always believes. You don't have to generate faith. Your spirit already has faith. All right? But your mind doesn't always agree with your spirit. And when your mind doesn't agree with your spirit, that's when you become double-minded, because you've got your spirit has a mind and your soul has a mind. And double-minded means that the two minds are not in unison. They're not in agreement. And it says, let not that man expect that he will receive anything of the Lord. And so to praise God with your whole heart means that you praise him not just with your spirit, which is already, it's perfect, it's identical to Jesus. I don't know if you understand that or not. It says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Do you realize you are in the spirit, you are an identical twin to Jesus? Some people would be thinking like, that's blasphemous, isn't it? No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You know, there's two types of twins. There are fraternal twins and there's identical twins. What's the difference? Fraternal twins have two seed and two egg, and both of them conceive and produce. That's fraternal twins. And so they pop out and they look different. There might be some similarities, but identical twins, it's one egg, one seed that somehow splits and becomes two. And they're identical, even their fingerprints, their genes, everything is just identical. You were born of incorruptible seed. One seed. Hey, you are an identical twin to Jesus in the spirit if you're born again. But and this passage that we've read is talking about matters of the heart, because it's talking about, like, that's why it talks about put aside the old self, put on the new self. In some translations it talks about put aside the old man, put on the new man. What's it talking about? It's talking about don't be divided in your heart. Your spirit's already on if you're born again, but your soul, your mind needs to be renewed. Your will needs to learn submission. So your soul needs to be converted as a result, hey? And then as it gets converted, you begin to think in line with your spirit or in line with the Word of God. And then you begin to praise God with a whole heart, hey? And this whole chapter is just talking about issues of the heart. It says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. How many times do we get caught up in the things on the earth? The problems in the family. That unexpected bill that came. That diagnosis from the doctor. Those symptoms on your body that just don't seem to be moving. We get caught. And this scripture is saying, set your mind on the things above. You know, there is no such thing as being too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. It doesn't exist. Show me that in the Bible. Because here it says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things below. The more heavenly minded you become, the more effective you become on the earth. And it's these matters of the heart. But here's the problem, and I'll talk a little bit more about this as we go further on, but a lot of people read stuff like this, like, for example, verse 5, it says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. And then verse 8, it says, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another and stuff. So they read these things and they're thinking, okay, so Christians shouldn't lie. Christians shouldn't be greedy. Christians shouldn't gossip. Christians shouldn't slander. And that's correct. But now there's a danger. If you don't understand these are matters of the heart, you'll actually be trying to get your old man to do something it can't do. You try to get your old self. Now, old self, you can't lie anymore. Old self, you can't be greedy anymore. You can't slander. Don't gossip anymore. Here's the problem, because we don't understand these are matters of the heart. Your old self is dead. It starts off at this chapter, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and the previous chapter talked about how you died, your old self is dead. And then in this chapter it says, put aside the old self, put on the new self. And I'll talk a little bit more about this, but here's the thing. You cannot do the will of God in your old self. And there's too many Christians who are trying to do that. All that'll do, if you're trying to do all of these things, now, I need to tithe, and I need to pray, and I need to tell the truth, and I need to read my Bible, all you will do is develop self-righteousness in your life. And that'll drive you from God. There is nothing, in my personal opinion, right? And I could be wrong about this, and if I'm wrong, come and show me. But so far, I haven't seen that this is wrong. My personal opinion is this self-righteousness is connected with a religious spirit, and my opinion is a religious spirit is the most detestable thing in God's eyes. Hey. And so that's a mistake that so many believers make, is they're trying to do these things instead of dropping into who they are in Christ. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, and all things in your spirit are of God. And dropping into that place and walking that through, and then it's easy to put away anger and malice and slander. It's easy to speak the truth. It's easy to have a heart of compassion and kindness and humility. So these matters of the heart, I want you to understand, they're coming from a place that this stuff's already done in you. Last week when I talked about integrity, your spirit is completely integral. Your spirit is completely holy, completely blameless. And for you to walk by faith is by saying, well, God, that's who I am. I am holy. I am blameless. I am above reproach. And as you do that, you find that that new man begins to have ascendancy in your life, hey, and you can carry out the work of God. So I want to talk today about, in that scripture that we just read in Colossians, you'll notice, you know, it mentions integrity when it talks about don't lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. And then in verse 12 it says, so those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I want to focus on, they're all matters of the heart, and I want to focus on one of those, which is humility. I looked up in the dictionary the word humble, and it means not proud or arrogant. Well, that's a good start. At least we know what it's not. It also said low in rank or importance or status. I looked up the Greek and Hebrew words that are translated humility or humble. And they both kind of tend to mean similar sorts of things: to be low, depressed, humiliate. And, you know, it's because of those meanings, like that's the root word from which we get humility and to be humble. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, they're pretty similar. And because of that, humility has been widely, widely misunderstood in the body of Christ. As people think that to be humble is you have to degrade yourself. I'm just a little worm. I'm not worthy. I'm less than the least of everyone. And to be humble is to be saying that, you know, I'm not worthy of anything from God. I'm just not even worth him spitting on me. It's that kind of attitude. And it's been misunderstood because of the root of these words. Hey, let me just show you. You know, a lot of people have this idea that, you cannot say that you're humble, that it's wrong. Like if I was to stand up and say, you know what, I'm a really humble guy, I'm so glad I'm humble. That a lot of people would think, well, that's not humility. Because of this wrong impression and misunderstanding of what humility is. You know, in Numbers chapter 12, it says, now the man Moses was the most humble man in all the earth. Who wrote Numbers? Moses. He's writing about himself. And he said, you know, the man Moses was the most humble man. You know, like if humility could be measured, and it sounds like maybe it can. I mean, for Moses to say something like that, he was the most humble. There was no competition. He didn't tell us who came second. But pretty much everyone on the earth was measured against him, and he was the most humble. He must have had a revelation about that, right? And if it could be measured, that means some are more humble than others. Is that right? If I said, let's just pray and ask God to show us who the most humble person in this room is, and he showed you that it was you, would you respond? If you wouldn't, that's pride. If Moses said he was the most humble, what I'm trying to get at is that this has been so misunderstood. Our definition of humility is misconstrued. And we don't have a good understanding of what humility is. Because people think that to be humble means you don't talk about yourself. I know Joel used to get really irritated with me because, like, sometimes I would cook. Every once in a while, I'll nail it when I cook a meal. Every once in a while. A lot of times I don't. But every once in a while I do. And when I do, like, the boys will just rave about it. And Joel would come in and go, oh, Dad, that was amazing. That was awesome. I go, wasn't it? And he look at me and goes, you're not supposed to say that. And I go, but it was good, wasn't it? And he said, no, you're supposed to say thank you. I'm giving you a compliment. I said, yeah, thanks, but it was an awesome meal, wasn't it? Oh, Dad, you don't have, man, that meal was so, so good. I know, eh? Humility doesn't mean that you're not talking about yourself. Hey. Otherwise, Moses could not have said that he's the most humble person. Hey. Humility is really, it's about recognizing who you are in Christ and recognizing who you are, like who God has made you. Hey. Yeah, it's recognizing that God is so much greater than you. It's recognizing that you are made to function in unison with him. It's recognizing that you are unable to do anything without him. Anything you do without Christ will not stand. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I've heard some people say, well, I know people who have designed buildings and cars and stuff without Jesus. There is nothing of eternal value that you will do without Christ. And what is the point of doing something that's going to last 20, 30, 40 years? That's why I love what Anthony was sharing. The purpose of prosperity is not for you to become a rich fat cat. The purpose of prosperity is for God to establish or confirm his covenant in your life and for you to have abundance from which you can give and bless others. There is a purpose in it, hey? And if your level of giving has not improved over time, something is wrong with this picture. You ought to be pushing the boundaries. You ought to be believing God. Now listen, in saying that, let me say this. I was just talking to someone just a couple of days ago, and I want to just say this because I know there's some of you who are just, you are believing God to give at exceptional levels. And that's a wonderful thing. But I want to say this to you, and I believe this is from the Lord. Don't run ahead of God in this area. God knows your heart. He knows your desire to give. Give at your level. Believe God to go to greater levels, all right? But don't run ahead of God, all right? Give at the level that you're at, believing to go to higher levels. And there will be times God will put on your heart and it will be challenging for you to give at another level. And you're thinking like, oh, really? That's when you respond. Don't just get into your flesh and into your old self and just decide, well, you know, I'm going to show God, you know, I can trust him. See, that's the old self. What was that? Yeah, you will never outgive him, but give as he leads you, and he puts, as he, you know, as you purpose in your heart, give, and he will lead you. And have a desire to, I desire to increase because I want to give, because that's what's eternal. We're talking about without Christ, there's nothing you can do of eternal consequence. You cannot take money with you to heaven. Even if you could, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? It's like I heard the story of this pastor that came to the gates of heaven, and he had this big bag with him that he was dragging on the floor. And Peter met him at the gates, and he said, it's just you. He said, you're not bringing anything with you. And he said, I'm not letting this go. He said, I'm getting through, and this is coming with me. And Peter said, you're not supposed to. He said, it's just you that's supposed to come in. And he said, He said, this is coming with me. And Peter said, what do you got in the bag that's so important? And he opened the bag, and it was filled with gold bricks. And Peter looked at him and said, what do you want concrete for? God makes roads with gold. You can't take money with you, but you can send it ahead of you. As you obey God and you give and you sow and you bless, as you obey God and you push through those boundaries into new levels, you think that God is, it's going to escape his attention? The times that you step by faith where you just knew, in my budget, I can't afford to tithe, but God, I know that you are my supplier, so I'm going to do. You think God overlooks those things? And there will be. There will be times where those things will be tested. Anything you do in the kingdom will be put to the test. Anything. And the problem with so many believers is they fail the test, and then they go in a circle, because God loves you. I'll go in a circle, and he'll get him to reset the test and reset the test and reset the test. If you want to prosper, you have to pass these tests. Promotion only comes after the test. There will be a test. That one, the first test is tithing. That's just what happens. The next test is giving beyond that. And there will be times where it's just like, man, I don't know if I can do this. But as you keep walking with God, and allowing him to lead you, he'll lead you into levels. Hey, and you'll increase. Hey, anyway, I don't want to talk about money. I don't know how I got under that. Somebody needed it. But humility is about recognizing who God is and who you are. Hey, you are unable to do anything of eternal significance without him. So really, humility then is your total and utter dependence on God. That's one aspect of humility. I want to talk about some other aspects of it as well. It's humility is submitting to God's authority, hey. It's agreeing with whatever he says about you. Some people will only agree with God if it makes sense to them. Well, guess what? You're a meathead. If you are waiting until God shows you 17 proofs why you ought to obey him in this area, you will fail. It doesn't take any faith to obey if you understand everything. There are deliberately times God will not show you why or what's going to happen, but he'll just call you to obey because he wants you to trust him. And some people will only agree with God if it makes sense to them. Other people will only agree with God if it's convenient to do so. You know, not everything you discover about God will make sense to you. Is that right? And a big part of it is because we're so limited in our own understanding. We don't understand everything. That's why even when Job, he couldn't understand what was happening in his life, God never answered the question. He just asked Job a few more questions. He said, Job, answer these basic ones first. Humility is agreeing with God, even if it makes no sense. Hey, I remember when Joel was 3 years old, I had two gold coins in my hand, a $1 coin and a $2 coin. I said, you can have one. Which one do you want? And he chose the $1 one. It was bigger. And I said, you can have the other one. He goes, I'm having that one. I said, this one's better. And he goes, I'm having that one. I go, no, Joel, this one you can buy more stuff with it. He goes, I'm having that one. See, because of his limited understanding, this was last week. Well, no, it was. As a toddler, you know, the limited understanding, he's just thinking bigger is better. If there's two bowls of ice cream, bigger is better. I'll have that one. So he's just translating that, and he's thinking, that coin, I want that coin, right? Not everything is going to make sense in your finite mind. Not everything that God is going to direct you to do and lead you into doing is going to make sense. And humility is just agreeing with God, even if it makes no sense. And, you know, that's the wonderful thing, is when you begin to do that, that's when you're going to have the God stories. The people without the God stories are the ones who play it safe. Never do anything out of the ordinary. There should be a supernatural aspect to your life. There should be things that you can look at your life and go, man, that's God. In fact, that others can look at it and go, that's God. I can't explain that. And other people, you know, they won't agree with God unless it's convenient, hey, unless it suits them. God has never, ever asked me if it's convenient when he's told me to do something. There's times he's woken me in the middle of the night to spend time with him. He's never said, is this a good time? Can I talk to you? He's never, you know, when he's put on my heart to go and do something that's going to cost me something, whether it's going to cost me time or energy or finances, he's never said to me, is this a good time? Can I get you to do this? But humility is just agreeing with him. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And so God, if God says you're loved, then you're loved. That's humility. Humility is saying, God, you say that I'm loved, therefore I am loved. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. He's not just Mister. He's not just Creator. He's Father, Abba. What love. Humility is agreeing with God. And if he says, you're loved, then you agree and say, yes, I'm loved. If God says you're forgiven, humility is agreeing with him and saying, yep, I'm forgiven. And isn't that what it says? In him we have a redemption, it says, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, but Pastor Les, you don't understand. I just feel so guilty. I feel so condemned. Yeah, but God says in Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, humility is agreeing with God. It's pride. The person that says, I feel so condemned. I know God says he loves me, and I know he says that I'm forgiven, but I feel so condemned. That's pride, because you are no longer in agreement with God. You are not submitting to his authority. And pride is refusing to submit to his authority. Yeah, but I just feel so guilty. Well, instead of focusing on how you feel, why don't you focus on what God says and get into agreement? You find you'll start to feel clean. I know what I'm talking about, because I used to, this was an area, particularly being brought up in a traditional church, a church that preached legalism. I was constantly, you know, if you constantly teach rules and regulations, you will bring people you'll bring an awareness of to people where they feel condemned. That's why the Bible says the law strengthens sin. All the law does is remind you that you don't meet up to God's perfect standard. That was the purpose of the law. Some people have this idea, well, we've got to do all of the commandments. No. The law and the commandments is to show you you need a Savior. And then as you recognize him, the old man dies. And the new man, which is filled with resurrection power, is able to rise up and live out the life that God wants you to live. Hey. But instead of focusing on how you feel, the feelings of guilt and condemnation, because I used to feel guilty and condemned because I was constantly reminded of how I fell short in all of these areas. I felt so unworthy. In the first few years of my Christian life, I was the vast majority of times I was battling with condemnation and guilt and feelings of unworthiness. I felt like unless I was praying or reading the Bible, I was of no use to God. And it was because of this old way of thinking. And so I was using the old man to try to do what only the new man could do. I was trying to be good. I was trying to pray. I was trying to read my Bible. I was trying to share my faith. I was trying to be pleasing to God. But your old man can't do that. Your old man's dead. Put it aside. That's what it says in Colossians. Put aside the old self. Put on the new self, which is empowered with God. Hey, if God says you're healed, well, actually, let me go back to the forgiveness thing. You know, like, it was as I submitted to his authority and I began to say, God, you said I'm forgiven. I don't feel forgiven, but that's what you've said. So that's what I agree with. And I began to praise him and thank him that I was forgiven. That's when my feelings began to change. That wasn't easy. So I don't want you to be misguided. Some of these things I'm saying, humility is not an easy thing. To submit to his authority in some of these areas is difficult. It is challenging. And your emotions, especially if you've lived by your emotions, and most people do. Most people live by how they feel. If they don't feel like doing something, they're just not going to do it. And if you're used to doing that, pampering your flesh, you're going to find it real tough. But you can do it. And if you submit to his authority and agree with what he says and focus on that, and here's a really good way. This is such a simple way, and you've heard me share this before, but it bears repetition because it is so valuable. It is something that has transformed my life, and it'll transform your life too if you put it to work. Is find the scriptures. Like if it's condemnation that you struggle with, find the scriptures where it talks about you're forgiven, where it talks about how you're loved. And then slow it down and start reading those slowly to yourself aloud and ask yourself this question. What would it feel like if this scripture was working in my life? I am forgiven. What would it feel like if I knew I was forgiven? What would I be like if I knew that I'm not condemned because I'm in Christ and there's no condemnation for that? What would that be like? What would my life be like? Allow yourself to go in your imagination. This works. Hey, I've put it to work, I can't tell you the number of times, thousands and thousands of times. That's why it's so easy for me to get into the Spirit. Because I've practiced it. Submission to God's authority is what humility is. And submission to his authority means you agree with what he says. Hey, if God says you're healed, then you're healed. Yeah, but I can see I'm not healed. Like, look, I can see it. Yeah, but God says you're healed. Yeah, but look. So where are you looking? The truth of the matter is that you're healed and it's done. And if you choose to elevate what he says rather than what you feel and what you can see and what the tests are saying, you will find that what you believe will pull out what's really in your spirit, pull it out and manifest it in your body. Humility is agreeing with what God says, hey. If God says you're rich, then you're rich. No amens with that. Right. Some people just get really uncomfortable talking about this sort of stuff. I'm just talking what the Bible says. The Bible uses the word rich when it describes us as believers. It says that Jesus was rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. Humility is just considering what God says about you and submitting to it. Hey, you know, I used to struggle understanding how prosperity worked. I've already sort of mentioned, like, there will be tests. You will be tested, hey, in this. And I didn't understand that some of those things were being tested in my life. Where Joy and I had made certain decisions. And we just determined, God, we're just going to do what you say. You know, because I remember when she got healed back in 2010, and it was just a miracle. I just said, God, you know, if you can do this, and the doctors call it a miracle, you can do anything. I said, teach me about money. Teach me about finances. I said, it's nothing to you. I said, teach me. And so he began to teach me from the word, hey. And the very first thing that he began to put on my heart is to begin to give beyond the tithe. which was a big stretch for us. And there were times where that got tested. And I remember in those early days when I was learning that, you know, like, there was just times that just the financial pressure seemed overwhelming. It just felt like, how can you do this? My mind was just saying, this is not, it's not going to work. It's not working. And I would get frustrated. I would complain to God. I would look up Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. I said, you said, bring all the tithes in the storehouse and prove me now if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there would not be room enough to contain it. I said, God, that's what you said. I said, have a look around. I got plenty of room to contain stuff. I was frustrated. But see, humility is submitting to his authority and agreeing with what he says, instead of agreeing with what you see or what you feel. I remember I did that for probably a week or 2 weeks. I was frustrated. I didn't understand. Hey, and he spoke these words in my heart, and he said, your words have been stout against me. And it got my attention, and I knew that's somewhere in the Bible. That talks about it somewhere in the Bible. I go, where is that? So I looked it up. And it was just after Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It was just a few verses later. Let me read it to you. You don't need to look it up, but you can look it up in your own time. It's in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. It says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, you have said terrible things about me. I think the King James says, your words have been stout against me. But you have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by doing what he says? And I was guilty. I was guilty of the very thing that came straight after Malachi 3 verse 10. I was saying, God, you said you'll pour out such blessing there's not room enough to contain it. Look, I got plenty of room. And after a couple of weeks of me whinging along that line, he said, your words have been stout against me. And when I read it, I realized he was correcting me. He was saying, you have said, what is the point of serving God? What's the point of doing what he says? That's what I was saying. God, what's the point? That's pride. Pride is when you assert yourself above what God says. And I realized I'd done something really bad. I said, God, forgive me. I still didn't understand. I still looked at the figures and it just didn't seem to add up. But I just said, I'm not doing that anymore. I can see it in your word, and your word is the truth, so I'm going to do it. And when I did that, that's when I passed the test. And then a greater flow of finances started to flow. There were other tests. There are still tests in the area of finances for me, but not at that level. You come up to a new level. A new level of income starts to come in, and you can give at another level. Listen, your income is not dependent on just your job. It's not dependent on Centrelink. Take the lid off it. God is your source, not your job. God can use your job. God can use Centrelink. But your income, don't define your income just by what the government wants to give you or just by what your boss wants to give you. Yeah, I could share a lot more, but I think that's enough. But considering what God says about you and submitting to his authority, that's what humility is, eh? I had to submit to his authority in that area. I had to agree that I was blessed even when I couldn't see it, even when I couldn't understand it, I had to agree. And it was when I did that, that Joy and I came up to a new level in our giving. And then it was a number of months after that, I added it up and I said to Joy, I said, do you realize we have given more this year than we've given in all of our married life added up together? And we hadn't planned that. We hadn't made that a goal. We just thought we want to just do what God shows us to do. And then the next year, it was even more than that. It was double that, you know. So anyway, humility. It's submitting to his authority. Agreeing with what he says. You know, I used to complain about, another thing, probably about a year after that, I was complaining to God about how hard it was to hear his voice. I was frustrated. this one day and I was saying, God, you know, like, why don't you just show me what you want me to do? Like, I mean, you know I'll do it. Why am I having so much trouble hearing what you have to say? Well, it didn't take me 2 weeks this time. It was later that day that he reminded me again, don't let your words be stout. I thought, yes. I said, God, how do I correct this? And he took me to John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, my emotions rose up in frustration. I read that. I thought, that ain't me. But I'd learned by now, don't speak it out. Don't empower it. So I just began to read it out. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. My emotions say, uh-uh. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. My emotions saying, dude, that ain't true. You know that's not true. And I was saying, God, your word's truth. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And the more I began to say that, the more I began to meditate on it, and the greater that thing began to take root in my life. Jesus, I'm one of your sheep. You said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That means I hear your voice. You know me and I follow you. And I just began to allow that to become the final authority. I'm just trying to bear my heart with you with some of these things. You know, like I don't get it right all the time, and I'm still learning and I'm still growing. But I'm much further than where I used to be. And that was a significant turning point in my life, in particularly in moving in the gifts of the Spirit. I began to move in word of knowledge and in prophetic utterance at a far, far greater level than I'd ever moved in my life when I submitted to his authority, when I humbled myself and I said, I'm your sheep, I hear your voice, you know me, I follow you. Instead of whinging about what I was experiencing, I submitted and humbled myself to what he said. You know, Micah is an awesome manager at EB, hey? Aren't you? Do you know how I know that? Because he tells me all the time. He tells me all the time. He goes, man, he goes, I'm just doing amazing. I go, you're a good manager. He goes, I'm awesome. That's humility. He had a revelation about 6 months ago. He had a revelation that as a new creation in Christ, he is identical to Jesus. Therefore, he is a winner. Is Jesus a loser? And he realized it was a revelation that transformed his life. And Joel and I have been a witness, and Aisha as well, because we see him a lot. We have been a witness to the transformation that one little revelation has made in him. It has changed him. I've known him since he was born, and I've never seen what I've seen in the last 6 months in his life. And it came through him humbling himself to what God said about him. God said, you're just like me. You're awesome. And he said, all right, God, I'll agree with that. And he just began to say it everywhere. And some people thought, man, you really up yourself. He goes, no, I'm awesome. And he brought a store, like the Cannon Hill store, he brought it right up. It was, they have like, you know, in groups of 50, they have leagues. And like the bronze league is like, I think the bottom 50 or amongst the bottom. And then above that is the silver league, and then the gold league, and then the platinum league. His boss had decided he was going to resign. And Micah had this revelation around about that time. And Micah just decided, well, because his boss had pretty much, he didn't care about EB anymore. It's just biding his time. He wait, just play it out, and he's going to resign by the end of the year. Micah decided, well, I'm not resigning, and I'm awesome. So I'm going to change this store around. And he brought that store up from the bronze league into the silver, into the gold, into the platinum. Hey. And so then he got promoted. Now he and his new manager, they both got promoted to another store, which again is just doing amazing. It's exceeding all expectations. Why? Because he's an awesome manager. He humbled himself to what God showed him. He just said, God, if that's what you say that I am, then I am. That's humility. To disagree with God is pride, hey? Well, you know, I asked God to heal me, and he didn't, because I don't feel any different. I asked God to heal me, and he didn't heal me. I'm telling you a conversation I had with someone. That's what they were saying. Oh, I didn't know where to start. I just listened. Someone who loves the Lord. To disagree with God is pride. He says, by his wounds you were healed. To disagree with God is pride. This person that I was talking to, she's a lovely lady. She loves the Lord with all her heart, but she just doesn't understand a lot in this area. And her church doesn't teach it, so she doesn't understand the principles of faith. But she was pretty much saying, therefore, it's not God's will for her to be healed. And I was saying to her, if you really believe that, why did you go and get surgery? I said, I don't see any problem with you getting surgery. I think God can use that. That's wonderful. But if you believe it's not God's will for you to be healed, why go get surgery? Stay in the will of God. To disagree with God is pride, hey? Really, humility is the key to every blessing of God. Hey, I heard someone say it recently. He said, humility is the soil in which the grace of God grows. And I think that's a wonderful picture, word picture. Every blessing of God comes by grace through faith. Is that right? You can't receive anything then without humility. It wasn't the power of God that saved you. It was the humility of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. It says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he was God, he didn't consider equality with God as something that he should hold on to, but he humbled himself, he emptied himself, and he humbled himself to death. It was his humility that brought him to the cross and took him to hell that saved you and I. It's the key to every blessing of God, hey? And really, if you think about it, humility is who you really are. Oh, I love this. Humility is who you really are. We're talking about matters of the heart. If you are born again, if you're a child of God, you are identical in the spirit with Christ. That means you are humble. Is that right or not? Scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Is he humble? As he is, so are we in this world. That's why I can stand up and say, I'm humble. I'm a humble guy. See, but here's what people try to do, is they'll read stuff like what we started off with in Colossians. It says, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness. And what they try to do is they try to do those things to prove to God that they're worthy. Now, you're resurrecting the old self and you're trying to do it in your strength. What you need to do is you just need to recognize, God, this is who you say I am. And in the spirit, that's who I am. And I accept it. And then begin to live that out. Not trying to do anything. The moment you try to do things to impress others or impress God, the moment you try to do those things is the moment you begin to live in the flesh. Humility is who you really are. But so many believers, they fail to walk in humility because they're trying to be something they already are. They're trying to act holy. Instead of understanding, I already am. They're trying to act righteous instead of understanding, I already am. They're trying to act victorious instead of understanding, I already am. They're trying to act healed instead of realizing, I already am. I am healed. They're trying to act rich instead of recognizing, I already am. These things are all things the scripture says have been done for you and I, and they've been deposited. You're not going to get any more of these things. They're already in your spirit. And humility is recognizing who you really are. Yeah, but Pastor Les, shouldn't we act like how we should be? Yeah, but act like it because you believe that's who you are. Don't act like it trying to be something you think you should be. Can you see the difference? This is an important thing. It's the difference between day and night. I'm not trying to play games here with words. What would you think if you ran into me, which wouldn't be an uncommon thing if you were going to the Hyperdome and you ran into me? I hang out there a lot. But if you ran into me at the Hyperdome and you saw this look of concentration on my face and you came near and you asked me what I was doing, what would you think if in response to you asking me, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to be Les Gomes. I'm Les Gomes. Be Les Gomes. Be Les Gomes. Be Les Gomes. I'm trying to be Les Gomes. You'd be thinking like, that's not a full sandwich, is it? You'd be thinking the wheel's turning, but the hamster's dead. Don't try to be something you already are. How many believers are trying to be who God says they already are? You are holy. You are righteous. You are loved. And as God spoke through Ross, allow yourself to feel that. Allow yourself to luxuriate in that. Jesus paid a huge price to enjoy your presence. Let him enjoy it. For years as a child of God, I would walk thinking I need to do all of these things, otherwise God's not going to be happy with me. And just always constantly thinking, God, I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. He could not enjoy my presence. He loved me. And it was as I humbled myself and came into agreement with what he said, submitting to his authority, and said, you said I'm loved. I don't feel loved, but you said it. So I agree with that. You said I'm forgiven. I don't feel forgiven, but you said I am. I agree with that. You said that I'm clean. I don't feel clean. And I would do it sometimes with tears in my eyes. But as I would do that, I would allow myself in my imagination to go to that place and imagine, what would it feel like if I was clean? What would it be like if I knew that I was forgiven? And I would allow myself to imagine that and then allow myself to feel it. Oh, brother, you're playing mind games here. Is it wrong to imagine truth? Because the majority of believers spend a lot of their time imagining the lies of the enemy. You're nothing. God ain't going to listen to your prayers. You got no future. That's not going to work for you. And believers, a lot of believers will spend their time. Why do we spend so much time practicing that in our imagination, and then we think it's mind games to actually agree with truth? Let's see the work of the enemy for what it is. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't try to be who you already are. You are humble. You are one with Christ. You are victorious. Accept that. Go in the theater of your imagination and play that out and allow yourself to feel what that feels like. And you will find you've put aside the old self and putting on the new self all of a sudden. That heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience are easy to walk in because you're not trying to do anymore. You just are. And you play it out and live it out. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of that? Yeah.